roast might.
Well, there's the first cock up of the night. I went live while you were still asking me something. Award winning knot.
Oh, fuck it. It's early.
Man, it is very early for you. 5 o'clock in the morning. This is a new record for Phoenix, Arizona. Has FPL Lens ever seen 5 a.m.?
Actually, yes. This is like the dawn patrol time when I would surf when I lived back in LA and Orange County. So this is it. It's not too bad. It's like a dawn patrol with my buddies. So it's good to be here.
That's all right then. Well, you need to cheer me up because I'm having a fucking shit week. It's so bad. I mean, you know, you said, oh, don't worry, Chris. You said, you've got Mitrovic and you've got Andreas to come. And I said, yeah, and James bloody Justin.
my favorite is like we're in the chat and I'm like, well, it's going to be a low scoring week. I'm sure the scores will be pretty close. It'll be everybody will get roughly a gray arrow. And you're like, yeah. And I'm sitting here on a 300% red. And I'm just like, I don't know what to respond to that. I just stayed quiet.
Anyway, everybody, welcome to Net That Hole. I'm FPL Mariner. This is FPL Lens, Gabe, and we are going to talk about game week 13. Unlucky for Mariner, no doubt. Everything else has been unlucky for the last few weeks, or certainly since I managed to wildcard Alisson out of my team. enough said. So this is just, you know, I love my numbers, Gabe. Here's a few little numbers about Alisson for you. All right, since I wildcarded him out, Liverpool have conceded 3.75 big chances per 90. Alisson has kept 2 clean sheets. He has had 1 assist. Bastard. And now he's saved a penalty, which also buggered me up because anyone who bloody free-hitted, a lot of them had Trent and people like that. So, yes, Alisson Trollison. That is his new name. I am so pissed off with this game.
You know, the real irony here, Mariner, is when I was on my wild card in game week 9, all the models said, pick Alisson. Alisson was the goalkeeper to get. And you're supposed to be the numbers guy.
I went for John fucking Pickford. I mean, to be fair, he at least looked like he was going to get some save points, but the one who didn't look like he was going to get some save points got all the bloody save points and everything. Bloody Raya, who you're on. 2 10-point hauls. I hate you.
Back-to-back 10-pointers from Raya. And in 2 games, I really did not expect that. I have to be honest. These were not the clean sheets I was hoping for. Obviously, the Bournemouth 6-pointer, I expected that. But I thought these would be 2-pointers. But he shot me up the rankings. I'm inside 100K, so.
He certainly has. Right, anyway, we can carry on ranting as we go on. I've already said the F word about 4 times in the first 5 minutes. So anyway, I think there might be a few more of them at this time of night because it's only 8 o'clock at night. Net that cock up. Really? Welcome back, Bungle. Nice to see you. I don't know where you are these days in the world. It was Tokyo. I don't know where it is now.
I think he put in the chat that he's in Malaysia. He says... So Bungle is a longtime friend of the show, of course, and friend of ours. So he said he can finally join us live.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's lovely to see him. If he's in Malaysia, maybe we might catch up one day because he's not too far away from me.
Actually Yanzi that's in Malaysia.
Oh, it's Yanzi. I didn't think he was going to be in Malaysia. Anyway, it's nice to see some people in from Asia anyway. And yes, so we're going to have a look at game week 13, but we're not going to look too much back. We're going to look at game week 13. It's pretty much freestyle. You've done some numbers. I've done a very few numbers, but quite frankly, we're just going to freestyle it. We're going to dive straight in. We're going to say hello to people halfway through. I think it's better to do it that way. And we may as well crack on with some philosophy because I need philosophy in my life. I missed it in the last show and I did hear you all taking the piss out of me. So it's quite normal, but come on. give me some philosophy which I can actually cheer myself up with, Gabe, or is it just not possible?
That's the good thing. This week is a positive philosophy. To be fair, you miss it most weeks, Mariner, even when you're here and you're reading it yourself. So you still don't get it. So I think this one you'll get, though. This one comes to us from Hermann Hesse, author and philosopher, German author and philosopher. He says, happiness is a how, not a what, a talent, not an object. So we speak of, and obviously we relate this back to FPL, right? And we think, well, FPL, it's quite simple. Happiness is a what? It is points. You get points, you're happy. And the problem, I mean, it seems like a simple equation, but the problem with that is what happens when you don't get points? So you're going to like lay all the responsibility of your FPL happiness on points, right? If you do that, then Allison's going to get a fucking assist and you're going to be in the mud ranting on a show on first thing on a Thursday. So this is a shout to process. You know, think about the process, value the process.
So here's a process for you. Target Forest. Everyone says Target Forest. What did I do? Target Forest. And guess what happened? Nothing.
I captained him.
Can you listen to the metric, you fool?
I know the metric sucks this season. I tossed him hard out of my team, that's for sure. He's gone.
You said to me this morning, you said, oh, there's some price changes coming. And I went, who? He said, Ford and Saka. So I quickly moved. I was sat on the bloody MRT making a transfers before I went into a bloody tunnel so that I'd lose my signal. And bugger me, I got out the other side of the tunnel and you said they hadn't changed price. I was new asshole.
I don't make the apps. I just read them.
Anyway, look, enough of this bullshit. I really don't know what it means, if in short. I would be happy with a point from some of my players, particularly my goalkeeper. I think it was FPL General the other week said he's played a full season without a goalkeeper. Me too. I haven't had a single return.
Oh, zero?
I think so. Not a single one. Maybe in game week 6 I had Allison. I think that might be one. That's
I know Walsh from FML FPL has gotten zero returns from his goalkeeper all season. So
yeah, well, I'm in fine company then, aren't I? Anyway, let's crack on, shall we? Shall we have a look at some fixtures? Shall we have a look at some games? And we'll just flick about. So we're a bit rough and ready tonight. But anyway, who cares? Matchups, Gabe. We will start with Target Nottingham Forest. What are you going to tell me about this week?
I mean, I got to be honest with you. Like the flanks of... So we have the net XG numbers up here. And then what we'll be doing is we'll select certain matchups. We'll try to keep the show on the shorter side so people can kind of take it in before the next deadline. So here we have net XG, 1.64 for Liverpool, 0.51 for Forest. Liverpool with a 45.5% chance of a clean sheet according to the shots model here. This is... I don't know. I think this flattered Liverpool a little bit. I know everybody is kind of high on Liverpool. They're high on Darwin Nunez, and I can see why. On a certain level, he is getting chances. He is used as a battering ram. He scored his goal. He hit the post, so he's getting opportunities, and he will play. But he got yanked at 57, right? He got subbed off at 57 minutes.
Sorry, I nearly spat my drink out. I didn't know he got subbed at 57 minutes.
Yeah. and this is at a time when he's supposed to be nailed. So I just find, I think he'll get his returns. But I think the numbers flatter Liverpool a little bit. Like the slide moved.
Hold on. Did it? Oh, crikey. I don't know why. There we go. It's back. Anyway.
There we go. Despite the shots model here, you know, Liverpool have taken a lot of shots. They have a 28% chance of two goals, almost a 16% chance of three goals. That's quite high, but that's just from a lot of shots that haven't really gone anywhere. Yeah. How do you see this match?
Well, I'll tell you how I see it. I've just had to just chuck all these onto one thing. I'm just so busy at work and everything in such a short time frame. Do you know what? This is a really poor... This is not a good matchup for Liverpool by the look of the fixture difficulty. Mm. They're not great away from home. Only positive 0.7 for attack and 0.3 for defence. I mean, they're not quite at Aston Villa standard, right? Who made Forest look good. But they don't make Forest look terribly bad. And that is quite interesting. And then when you look at the zonals, on the left-hand side for Liverpool, 2.8, that's really low. And only the fours, early fours for centre and right. And you would expect these chances per 90 for Liverpool to be up at 5. Normally, you know. And so I think, you know, it sets the scene. I did say last week, and I wasn't on the show, and I know a lot of people, I captained Salah, and I captained him through gritted teeth. Because I didn't want to captain Trossard because I had a horrible feeling about him. And I was right too as well, wasn't I? Yeah. But I captained him through gritted teeth. In the back of my mind, I had West Ham's second best defence away from home, ranked. I said, I thought it might be a tough game, and it turned out it was. Liverpool are not firing on all cylinders as far as I'm concerned. I think they've got more than enough to turn Forest over, and Salah may well be my captain, although I think he probably won't be. I think it'll be Haaland. I'm just going to go back to that and just say sod it till the World Cup. But, you know, I can see why people would captain Salah, but there's not a lot in these numbers suggesting.
Yeah, you know, if we look at the zonal matchups here that you have up, Mariner, 4.2 in the center and 4.3 on the right, you know, that's still an area of weakness for Forest. But I think one thing that we saw Forest do against Brighton that's a little bit different. I saw a little bit of a different Forest against Brighton. And it was they're a little bit deeper and they're a little bit more compact, whereas Steve Cooper was trying to play a little bit more too expansive, maybe with the double tens and stuff like that. And they just kind of sat in on Brighton and they kicked them or they bodied them. They were always like running. So they're using physicality to stifle creativity. You know, it resulted in a point against a team that I think Brighton had 17 shots against them, and they got their clean sheet. So I can see Forest making it complicated for Liverpool, and I still think Liverpool will win, and it may be comfortable, but they will not run. I don't think they'll run away with this one away from home.
No, I tend to agree with you. I still think it'll be a fair. I still think Salah will probably get a return. I just don't know. I see the hole. That's the thing. That's where I am with it. Let's move on. Everton Palace, is it worth it or do you want to just jump straight past? Would you want to
just really quickly, like I think we should just touch on the Darwin Nunez debate a little bit because he is growing into prominence in the Liverpool team with Jota out. Yeah. And that central matchup against Forest does show, you know, some promise. So he, you know, he is getting chances and he's getting big chances in the XG and all of that. At a time in the season when the title of the show is like the template comes roaring back or something like that. Right. When we're looking to like rushing to get these City and Arsenal players back in, I just don't see, especially given the FDR, I don't see how it's justified to rip your team up, change your structure to bring a nine-ish million forward when we need to be getting all of these other players from the top teams, from City, from Arsenal. So it wouldn't be for me.
No, and I mean, you know, there's probably two pretty solid locks in any wildcard side, I would suggest, up front, and that's Haaland and probably Mitrovic. I think they're quite solid locks. So then you've only got that one spot, haven't you? And then if you want Trent, you probably go in Solanke or someone like that, probably. Mm. If you want the midfield, which I think everybody does, we'll get onto this a bit later. But yeah, you make a good point. It's interesting to see about people trying to work him in, but it's just that bit more expensive than a player like Jesus or someone like that, right? Who we could all afford before we sold him. Fair enough. Everton Palace, I mean, I can put it up on the screen if you want to have a quick look. Not a lot going on. It looks like a bore draw.
It's a binary game. It's going to be zeros and ones.
Enough said. Maybe will Pickford get a clean sheet, Gabe? Please.
I think he might. I think he has a good chance of a clean sheet.
No. It's written in the stars. You know who will score, don't you?
Who's going to score?
Zaha. I've sold him, haven't I? Remember, I sold him for Trossard because I was targeting Nottingham Forest, as you do. And guess what? Then he goes and gets a bloody return after everyone's been slagging him off. I've been saying, "Oh, good, I've sold him, excellent," and then all of a sudden he scores, doesn't he? So
I don't think Zaha will score against a deep block.
Look, mate, everything's going wrong for me right now. He's bound to
bet against Mariner. That's the rule.
No, I mean, with honesty, it looks like it looks a fairly good chance. And Palace are pretty poor away from home. You know, and I mean, if we just went to the fixture difficulties, you know, Palace attack is -1.3. So yeah, I mean, you would. I've got to be hopeful this time. I've got to, you know, please God. I'm even laughing at myself nowadays, Gabe, not other people. That's how bad it gets. I've even took the number one YouTuber off my Twitter.
It sounds like you're approaching the beach, Mariner.
Anyway, Manchester City Brighton. Tell me.
Ooh.
How easy is this going to be? Do you know what? You know what I said earlier when we were chit-chatting? I said, Trossard's written in the stars to ruin my clean sheet for Cancelo. That's a fact, because I've just transferred him out. But look, realistically, how easy is this game going to be for City? Brighton have been known to cause a lot of trouble to the top four away from home.
I was reading a tweet this morning. I mean, this morning must have been like 20 minutes ago when I woke up. that was saying City at home versus City away. I don't know if you have those numbers handy, but City, I think they've scored double the amount of goals at home or something like that than away. The numbers are quite stark, home and away. So I think City will take care of Brighton, especially if I don't think that Zerbi's going to come and play irresponsibly and try to kind of play City, like pass City off the field. The way City would do to them. So I don't know. This one's going to be really interesting, I think, because City's going to have more of the ball, but Brighton's going to want more of the ball. But City at home, they should dominate. What's interesting here is if you look at the NetXG has 1.8 for City and 1.17 for Brighton. But what I find interesting is they have a very similar chance of two goals for each. So it's almost a 26% chance for Brighton and a 29% chance for City. But I think that the shots model predictor here is a little bit misleading, because the past three matches, they've had like 50 shots. They scored zero goals in the past three.
We saw it in last year. We thought they'd got rid of that, didn't we? Yeah, they were doing that last year as well.
Potter fixed them, and Brighton was like, no, that's not our identity. So they brought someone in to take them back to what they used to be.
Come and show them how shit they are again.
Anyway, yeah, so I think we're going to learn what that Serbi does without the ball in this game, and that's going to be the main experience here, and I think City should dominate.
If they're expansive, they'll kill them. Yeah. City will kill them unless they sit back. 24 goals at home, 9 away. By the looks of things, 4.4 big chances per 90. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty solid matchup. But interestingly enough, and it's really strange, but when you actually look at the actual numbers, City's numbers are not great. They just put everything away. They're just so bloody clinical. You know, these are small chances as much as anything. But I think this is to do with Brighton just being actually quite miserly, I think, looking at this. I need to look into this because it didn't look very good at all. And I can't work it out. But look at that, 4.4 on the fixture difficulty.
Yeah.
4.4.
The one thing, so these two teams are tied for the most shots per 90. Tied for second for the most shots per 90 in the league. They both have they take 14.2 shots per 90 on average. Obviously, Brighton is going to be a lot more with De Zerbi. The top spot for that metric is actually Newcastle.
Right.
They take over 15 shots per 90.
Yeah. Well, Brighton, chances conceded from the left, only 2.3 per 90, 1.5 from the centre per 90, and 2 from the right. So in, you know, you put it in context, then they're quite, you know, fairly miserly in some senses. But this is not the game for them, I'm quite sure. That fixture, if that 4.4 leaps out, and look at that headed matchup as well, 3.1. You know, Haaland header, anybody? His third goal, perhaps. I don't know. But no, let's put it this way. I think a Haaland haul is definitely a possibility. Anything else on the City game, or do we just keep going?
Ake has been getting in the headers. Not that we're buying him or anything, but no. Watch out for a cheeky little Ake header in this one. All right,
well, I'll remember that one. Chelsea against Manchester United, a resurgent Manchester United, I hasten to add. They look like they might have turned a corner, Gabe.
I didn't watch the United Spurs game, so I can't really comment on that. And an FPL teacher hasn't released his pod. When I can't catch a game, I just go to teachers' pods, and they're so complete, like 8 minutes, and you get filled in better than watching highlights, in my opinion.
Well, he's in the chat, so he needs to let us know what he reckons. If you know, if he knows something we don't, tell him. Tell you what, it, as I say, the only person who's ever made me uncomfortable on a show ever. Asking questions all the time. I'm just like a bloody teacher. I used to sit at the back out of the way and cause trouble, you see. But that's another story. So anyway, so it looks like, according to this, Manchester United, although oddly enough, their predictions are a bit all about, a bit ass about face, according to the NetXG against the predictors, right? Or am I reading that wrong?
The what, sorry?
NetXG, Manchester United's NetXG is quite low, yet they've got a 24% chance of 2 goals and 25% chance of no goals.
Yes. So that'll be based on the shots. I see Manchester United. Oh, look at that. The Manchester United is tied with Brighton for the third most shots per 90. So that's why it's like it's higher, because they take a lot of shots. But then what kind of shots are they taking, right?
Well, and the trouble is Kepa will probably save them, right?
Let's see. Yeah, so he will save them, actually. Kepa's been on absolute fire. So and Manchester United have one of the lowest, let's see, I don't know, one of the lowest shots per or XG per shot. So they take a lot of shots, but
they're all bad.
Yeah.
Or from a long way out, or just not very good, not very good chance, not very high chance of scoring, should we say?
Right. 0.09 XG per shot. So
it's quite low, isn't it?
Worse than the league, but it's on the lower end of the spectrum.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. On the fixture.
The one question I wanted to ask you is you know, Bruno. Bruno's been getting some returns. Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, I did notice that, but not that many. He got one this week, didn't he? He's not really on my radar yet, but I mean, it's been worth keeping an eye on him. But I mean, looking at this, Gabe, on the fixture difficulty, Chelsea plus one attack, Manchester United plus 0.8. There's a little bit there. But not a lot. It suggests maybe quite a tight game, actually. But I don't know. It's a funny one. Manchester United's chances, nothing to write about. Chelsea's chances, nothing much to write home about either. I can't quite call this one. Talking about Kepa as a wild card choice, right, for a goalkeeper. What's that? Where are you with that?
I think it's great value. I think he's in great form. It's great value, and it's for just a few game weeks. I think Kepa makes a lot of sense on a wild card. So what's kind of holding Chelsea back, I think, in the stats is the number of shots that they take. Per 90, they only take 12 and a half shots per 90. It's like 1.5 or 2 less than United. And that's kind of what's balancing things out. Now, they have roughly the same XG per shot. So that, I think that's what's kind of making things even here. And also United have, they're different. The last, if you look at their last four games, I think we're seeing a different United than the one that got smashed by Brentford, for example. Yeah. So I think United, if we had that VAR, that swing, I think we'd see it favouring United quite a bit.
No, I think you're probably right, actually. It's certainly starting to get onto people's radar. Now, the next one. Now, we're not going to talk about this one because I see another clean sheet for Raya, so we're going to go straight past Aston Villa against Brentford. Another snore fest, if ever I saw one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Raya obviously in good form as well, but Brentford still, they are conceding chances. So, you know, Villa could get one on a counterattack or something like that. That's why, you know, NetXG is showing like a 0-0, 1-1, 1-0 in any kind of direction. I think there are several games kind of like that this week.
Yeah, and the game's absolutely neutral. There's absolutely nothing in it with it and really nothing much to look about. Aston Villa through the middle, perhaps. But look how bad Brentford are, zonals. They're awful.
This is a function of the way Aston Villa play, and Aston Villa are so compact. Gerrard just packs everybody right in the middle, so not much can happen. That's why that central matchup is a paltry 2.6. 2.0. Then the left matchup is the worst matchup because on the right hand side that's where Villa create from the left, so that means on the right hand side they're usually holding back and that's not where you attack them. So that's more a function of the way Villa play. But the thing is, Villa don't play very well, so I don't know.
It's two poor sides, really. I mean, you know, Brentford are creating 1.7 chances per 90 from the left, 1.7 from the centre and 2.3 from the right. And Villa are, you know, slightly better with respect to that, but 3.5 from the left, two from the centre, two from the right. And Villa, you know, conceding a few more chances from their left side, but like you say, pretty compact, really. Pretty compact. Okay. Leeds Fulham, let's quickly whiz through these. Now, this doesn't particularly like Fulham much. Certainly the shot predictor. but it does like Leeds.
Yeah. So Fulham, I'm looking here, have the second lowest XG per shot. And I think that's and one of the lowest shots per 90. They only take 11 shots per 90, and that's why they're being dragged down here by the shots model goal predictor. The thing is, Mitrovic can bury those shots. Those low XG, low number of shots. So he's a little bit of a stat buster. So I'll give him that. I think what I'm seeing here in NetXG says 1.35 for Leeds home and 1.17 for Fulham away. And it is that home and away. Like Leeds at home, they're up for it. The crowd is up for it. And Fulham away, not so much.
No. And Leeds, I've seen Leeds a couple of times actually this season. It's quite often been the early game, I think. They've been on a couple of times. And interestingly enough, they have long periods. They dominate for a half. And they look excellent. I mean, they just destroyed Chelsea, didn't they, a few weeks ago? And again, this last weekend, who were they playing this weekend just gone? But they look really good. Was it Arsenal, wasn't it? It was Arsenal, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah, the weekend.
Well, that was on the weekend, right?
On the weekend. Yeah. You know, and I mean, Arsenal won the game. They didn't deserve to win it. And Leeds, to me, looked quite good at home. You know, I did contemplate Sinisterra at one stage and then went against it. But I wouldn't be objectional to him, actually. I quite like the look of him.
I think he's an exciting pick, especially, you know, in this matchup. I quite like him as well. What do the zonals say for this one?
Okay, let's have a look. So, very positive fixture difficulty for Leeds, 2.4. Not City standard, but, you know, pretty good. Fulham's fixture difficulty for attack is not good, minus 0.9. But that's Fulham away, right? Because Fulham away are nothing like they are at home.
Right.
And that's the big difference. Nothing on the zonals for Fulham and for Leeds. 3.6, 3.9 down the middle. Patrick Bamford perhaps might finally start to get something. You never know. 3.6 down the left as well. So, but nothing down the right. Nothing. I just think Leeds have too much for Fulham, actually. I can see goals. There could be a few goals in that. So I think Mitrovic, like I say, I wouldn't be at all objectionable about starting Mitrovic and playing him, but you know, whether he's going to haul or not remains to be seen. Southampton Arsenal, right, now is another one which is quite interesting because Southampton at home are a different beast as well.
Hmm. NetXG and the shot model predictor, they don't factor in home and away just yet. Arsenal 1.77 to 0.85 for Southampton. I mean, Southampton, they're still a disjointed side. They can't muster any kind of like cohesion in attack. The players are very young, so they're still developing, and Arsenal are just kind of firing. I think I had some notes here on Southampton. I'm looking for them. I think it was FPL teacher that mentioned that that Xhaka could be a good shout in this one in that left half space. I think this is quite simple. Just to kind of get all your Arsenal players in.
Just some breaking news: Grimsby Town must have played Liz Truss because she's resigned. Because most managers who play Grimsby Town and lose, they get what's known as the Grimsby Reaper turns up. Well, it looks like the Grimsby Reapers just turned up at Downing Street, everybody. Yippee!
Pause right. For celebration.
Next. Right, where am I? I've lost all my train of thought. I'm so happy. Right.
News hasn't even hit Tokyo yet. You're like...
No. Which game were we looking at? Southampton against Arsenal. Arsenal's numbers are still, because Southampton's quite... much more difficult at home. Arsenal's numbers are not brilliant, but Arsenal away from home just recently have looked excellent. Again, they have the ability to really dominate. I've brought Saka in as I let go earlier on. I've now got Saka and Martinelli. I think most people, that template is going to be fairly strong with at least two Arsenal attackers for the next 4 weeks whilst we await our beach trip to Qatar.
I'm surprised the FDR is only 1.1 for Arsenal. And like you were saying, it's a function of Southampton at home, I guess.
Yes, it is. Definitely. Southampton, not much in attack. I still think, you lucky devils who are wildcarding. I'm so jealous of you. Ben White's been mentioned in dispatches for a wild card team. I quite like that. I think he's a very, very good price. And I think he's an easy way into that defense as your fourth defender.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would probably go with... Yeah, I agree with that. It's basically what Saliba was at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah.
So it's, definitely reasonable.
Yeah. Right. I don't know how long we're going to be on this one. Wolves Leicester.
Next.
It's another bore draw, isn't it? I'll tell you what. Yes. James Justin. First. No. Again, I can't play him, can I? I've got to think what my team is. I think he's on my bench at this moment in time. But I'll tell you what. Wolves are now nothing to shout home about, are they? Nothing.
No, still nothing. I actually have some notes here on Wolves. They do have a new player. They started Hugo Bueno,
right?
Who did a decent job at who was he marking on the Palace's right? Elise. He was on Michael Elise and did a decent job. But this is a team, you know, they're still without a manager. They're without. They're carrying like an old identity. They keep reaching out to people and they keep rejecting the managerial spot. I think
they're in a bit of a mess, if I'm honest. Of course they've lost their mainstay in defence as well in Cody, right? Which sounds like that's a real blow to them. He was the glue guy, wasn't he?
Well, apparently he was a problem in the dressing room. He was a problem with the manager, with Bruno Lage.
He's gone.
And now, it seems like Bruno Lage was the problem, not Cody.
So. Yeah, exactly. That's probably more the case, right? But anyway, the goal predictors was a sea of red, so we don't even need to look at that, do we? On the zonals as well, and well, there's not a lot there, I don't think. Where are we? Leicester, yeah, -0.3. And -1.1, a little bit of positive for Wolves. Well, that suggests that Leicester are just so bad, right? Mm. Leicester away from home are really poor as well. Yeah. Really poor.
Yeah.
Zonals, nothing much. Maybe a little bit down the middle for Leicester, but I've sold Madison now as another cart horse gone. God, I've been trolled. I've been trolled by so many players in the last few weeks. I've lost count. I've literally lost count. Another one. At this rate, I'm going to have so many grudges, they may as well call me FPL Lens.
That's fair.
I'm going to be as bad as you soon. I was in a really good mood last year, but not this year. No, no. I'm ready for the beach already. I'm ready to put my flip-flops on and have a month off.
See? That's I can't wait. Learn to live that way all the time.
I genuinely can't wait, mate. I can't wait. Right, which one next? Oh, I know. Hang on a second. Here we go. Tottenham Newcastle. Now, this might be a good game.
Hmm.
This is the sort of game I'd like to watch. I quite like the look of this one.
I'd prefer this game if it were at Newcastle.
James's Park. Yes.
Yeah. Newcastle are, you know, they obviously they're an expansive team. They have the second most shots per 90 in the league. But away they're a little bit different. Net XG 1.24, Spurs 1.02, so lower than Newcastle. Net XG kind of favors Newcastle in this one just because of the amount of chances that they generate. And they've had injuries, right? They've had injuries to all sorts of Isak injured, they had Bruno G injured, they had Joelinton injured. They had obviously Charles Wilson was injured, and they just keep producing. And so I think Newcastle away from home, I wonder how much they're going to come at Spurs, because I mean, Eddie Howe has to know that Conte is going to just sit back and wait to hit Newcastle on the break. And if Newcastle are too expansive, I could see Spurs. I could see maybe Son getting like a double return or something like that if Newcastle expand too much. Yeah. If Eddie Howe is more reserved, you know, Newcastle will be creating from the right and kind of like crossing into the left. So if they do that from deeper areas and do that almost as a counterattack from maybe from the center of the field area, then this could be a really interesting game.
Yeah.
It could go badly for Newcastle if they open up too much away from home.
Bungle's telling you to wash your mouth out. You must be you must be complimenting Spurs. I mean, look, I'm going to be playing Trippier and Doherty. Well, I mean, Doherty probably won't start because that's another thing which will happen this week for me almost definitely. But anyway, I tried my best. I got one return out of him anyway, didn't I? So it's better than nothing. You've got him as well, haven't you?
Oh my God! Don't remind me. I'm embarrassed.
Don't ever listen to me. Don't.
It's when I don't. That. Yeah, last season when I didn't listen to you about Doherty, what did he do?
Yeah, happened. Yeah, oh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I got one return out of him. But yeah, I mean, the good thing is the reason my thinking behind Doherty was the fact I had Justin Ngwey on the bench who could come on just in case he. So that was the. You know, that was my thinking.
Are you who are you starting? Are you starting Gay or Doherty?
I can't remember.
No, for this coming week, you don't know.
I have no idea. I'll pick my team tomorrow. I'll have a look in a minute when we're just whilst we're talking shit. I'll have a quick look around and see what it is. Let's have a look at the fixture difficulty for this one. Tottenham, right, 1.8 positive, 1.9 defensive. There we go. That's definitely a Doherty benching for sure because there'll be a clean sheet and I won't get one.
I'm surprised at that FDR. So the metrics don't align. The FDR doesn't align with NetXG.
No, it doesn't. Remember, it's probably the home and away form again, I guess. Yep. I'm almost certain it will be. Let's have a look at the attack at home. Spurs, 2.4 big chances per 90, 15 goals this season. And away, Newcastle defence. Hang on, defence away. Newcastle defence, here we go. 1.8 big chances per 90 conceded. But they're not conceding that many goals. Only four goals. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's the number of shots that looks like they're conceding. No, they're not. I think it's just Spurs being, it's more Spurs than it is Newcastle, I think, looking at it. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I always feel that Newcastle are a far better team at home than they are away. They've been, for me anyway. The last one. Wow, we're flying through these.
Yeah.
Bournemouth against West Ham. Bournemouth have got a 55.8 chance of no goals. Play your West Ham defenders, everybody.
Sorry, your West Ham defender. Well, hopefully you don't have the cat kicker. I will never bring him into my team. But
no, you should wash your. You do need to wash your mouth out now. We're not having that cat kicker mentioned on this game.
I'm not mentioning his name. Shall not be named on this show anyway.
Voldemort is his name. That's his new name, Voldemort. All right. Yes,
that's right. I think both of these teams are a little bit on the rise. I think Bournemouth is getting a little more solidified. They're figuring out that, you know, everything does have to go through Philip Billing for them when they get forward. And they've had some interesting combinations that have led to some production. So, but West Ham they're a difficult side. They're tricky and especially at home. I don't see Bournemouth getting anything here. I like that. Close to 56% chance clean sheet for West Ham.
Your NetXG doesn't support West Ham going mad either, though, does it?
Nope. But I mean, when has West Ham gone mad? They haven't done it at all this season.
They did once or twice early on in the start of last season, didn't they? But they haven't done much since. Bowen is missing penalties now, as well as everything else he's not doing. Sorry, Bowen owners. That was one of the small. That was one of the small enjoyments of this week, I think. But there we go. But no, 0.91 NetXG is rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, and that, you know, that's when we combine chances, expected stats, and shots. When we peel it back to just the shots, it's kind of we see like maybe they're the number of shots is dragging them down. I'll look that up really quickly here.
Yeah. Well, while you're doing that, I'll just nip across to the fixed difficulty as well whilst we're at it. So,
yeah.
where are we? I can't even see the number now because it's hidden behind the thing.
So West Ham...
Minus 2.1, sorry. I can't see the West Ham number because it's hidden under a thing on the screen from me. But Bournemouth, minus 2.1 attack and minus 1.3 defence. That says nothing. West Ham are positive, all right? So I think West, you know, if I was looking at this, I am going to say that West Ham will win 2-0. There we go. That's my prediction. But not a lot for down the middle at West Ham. Look, all down the flanks, even not a lot down the flanks, 3.7 and 3.4 chances per 90. Against, obviously, Bournemouth, well, yeah, nothing much at all. Really nothing much. West Ham's there's a headed match up there for West Ham, actually. It's not too bad, 2.7 per 90. It better not be Voldemort.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, what West Ham have, they have about 13.4 shots per 90, but their XG per shot is really low. It's 0.08. It's like bottom five in the league. So that's what's dragging them down here as far as NetXG is concerned, I think.
Yeah. Where are you on Skamaka? There's a question here from Akib. Anyone have him? I mentioned him a few weeks ago. Everyone was saying, oh, no, Antonio will be coming back, but he hasn't.
No, Nima and I talked about him on Sunday. I like Skamaka a lot. And Teacher has mentioned, like, what I wrote on Sunday or on Monday in the matchups thread Scamacca, like he's holding that left side. He'll get to the end line and he's like 6'5", this huge guy. So he has good hold up play in the left half space. And when he holds it up there, that opens up the space for Bowen to get closer to goal. So I think that's why we've seen like a Bowen resurgence, is because of the influence of Scamacca. So I expect that to continue.
Right. Because he's same height as Wankhorst, isn't he? But he's not as bad as him, right? That's the way right. I look at it. Uh-huh. Right. Grand. Well, that's brilliant. So just whilst we're, should we say hello to a few people? And then what we'll do is we'll dive into the fixture difficulty, because I think this is where the wild cards then come in, because we're going to start mm-hmm. talking about long range things. So we've got Akib here. We've got Bungle. We've got Yazi, FPL teachers here, Chris Trumi, hello mate. Colm Bulger's here, El Ron Cupboard. Who else have we got? Is it Abby or Abel? Abel Vaghezi? I'm terrible with names. Please do accept my apologies. Don't switch off. Yeah, keep on going. KK's here. Multi live evil. Well, that's a strange one. I've never heard that one before. But anyway, there we are. Kieran Turner's here announcing that Nunes in and out quicker than Liz Truss. Brilliant. I love it. Absolutely brilliant. I love this. Oh, Boona's here. Is that the real Boona, though? Because someone's cloned his account, apparently. It's not funny. That would really piss me off.
So I'm in a group chat, and you know, Boona posted, he did one of his troll posts over the weekend. I'm in a group chat where somebody on Wildcard acted on it, and they were so
well, at least no, I haven't blocked him, but I have to say there's times when I mute him for a day or two. Bobner's here, FPL DG boys here as well, Haller, and and happy birthday, Gabriel, for yesterday, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks. 30 years young again.
That's funnily enough, that's the age I turn every single year.
Well, what you've got to do is start counting backwards, and eventually someone will know you're lying, right? That's what. I got to 44 before someone. I was 44 telling people I was 36. In fact, I told. Anyway, right, where are we? Should we have a look at the fixture difficulty? So let's now go back to this and just keep going. So let's go to fixture difficulty. This is the long-range fixture difficulty now. And by God, that's not very clear, is it, for me anyway? I don't know whether your eyes are better than mine, but it's a bit small for me. But anyway,
there's a lot of data up on the screen right now.
Let me put it on a different screen so I can at least explain it. Because I can't bloody read it because I'm so old. Well, looking at this, obviously we're now getting to a point where we are planning for a World Cup break, aren't we? We're now getting into, if you're wildcarding, you're going for those, you're running with a team probably right the way up to that, to the World Cup, really, without having to worry about too much, I think. And looking at these fixture difficulties, let's look at these 14 to 16, ignoring 13, but 14 to 16, City still miles and miles and miles ahead of everybody. So there we go, Gabe. Defensively also highest. Three City, the obvious three.
City attack is, for game weeks 14 to 16, is the best, but it's the best by double the second place, which is Liverpool with that 7.3 and City's at 14.6.
Yeah.
That's how much better they are. I mean, I think that the two obvious, right, Cancelo and Haaland, and then, you know, it depends what your structure is. You could do KDB, you could do Foden. I prefer Foden because he's closer to the goal. KDB is assisting for more, and he costs more. So I think Foden is the obvious way to go.
I don't really think it's a discussion. I think it's Foden miles over KDB. That's me. They're just miles over. The price difference does it alone.
It's the price.
I think KDB is more of an assister than Foden. So look, I'm... straightforward. I've already done it. I'm already on three, and I would expect most people wildcard and be on the same three: Cancelo, Foden, Haaland.
Yeah,
relatively straightforward for me. Right, that's them three. That's three of us. That's three for the wild card. As we say, the template comes roaring back. I owned all three game week one.
I think if you want to go double defense, I think that's worth a shout, given the fixtures, you know, Brighton, Leicester, Fulham, Brentford, 3 out of 4 at home.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's reasonable.
I just think if you're at this point now, the ceiling for me is Foden's ceiling's higher than those. I know that you can save money and go elsewhere with it, you know, but obviously Haaland's obvious, so obvious. Cancelo's super obvious as well, you know.
Yeah.
I just think Foden's a stronger bet than I don't see any of the other defenders having much more of a 6-point ceiling.
Right, but it's not the ceiling play, is it?
It's a differential play. It's 6 points more than other people would get when City have a clean sheet, right? That's fair.
Yeah, and you pay 2 million less for say someone like Diaz or if you want to go even less, you could go Ake, you could go Akanji. Picture whatever players you want. I'm just saying the concept in general, going double City defense, I don't think is bad with those fixtures coming up. And Foden definitely has a ceiling, and that's what you pay for, and that's where I went for sure. But yeah. But I think it's a reasonable bet if you wanted to diverge. If you were going Bowen and Saka in midfield, and Foden doesn't fit somehow, it's something to think about.
True. If you're on Bowen, but I'm looking at these numbers. I wouldn't be personally. I wouldn't be going to Bowen right now. That's the way I look at it.
No, not going to Bowen. But you may not want to sell Bowen ahead of Bournemouth, so you may not have that flexibility to get to Foden.
Fair point. But if you're wildcarding, you know that to me, if I'm wildcarding, right. You know, players I'd be looking to bring in someone like Foden. Looks like he doesn't. I mean, famous last words, Mariners. I've probably completely kiboshed it now. He doesn't look like much of a rotation risk.
Foden? Oh God! You had to say that.
Have I just said that? Oh no!
Oh my God! I'm gonna end the broadcast now. Thanks. Bye.
I thought you were serious then. No. Right. Anyway, now let's keep going. So who else are we going to look at? Well, all right. Let's look at the other big. Let's look at the Liverpool. So Liverpool have got Forest away, Leeds at home, Spurs away, Southampton home. Three very, very nice fixtures. Spurs fixture there as well. But look at the numbers. The numbers are, they've got a couple of brilliant matchups by, you know, 4.9 against Leeds. I mean, as much as the Forest matchup is not great, the Leeds matchup the following week is absolutely amazing. Right? Where are we with Liverpool? I mean, at this moment in time, I only own Salah. I'm not falling over myself to get more than one Liverpool, if I'm honest with you. If you were wild carding, would you go back to Trent or would you still swerve him?
Oh, that's a tough decision because I'm on Salah as well, of course, and I'm not entirely happy with it. I don't want to be on Salah, but I do want some coverage. So, you know, maybe Trent might be a way to cover Liverpool somehow. I think that's probably one of the most difficult decisions for people on wildcard. I mean, you have to have Liverpool coverage. You might even have to have Salah or someone like that since they're playing Forest. I don't think Leeds, I mean, even though it's at home, I don't think Leeds is the same easy fixture it was last season. I think some people are still treating them that way or talking about them that way, but I don't think they are. Spurs away, Spurs will sit in deep as well. And then Southampton at home is, you know, obviously a decent fixture. So,
you know, the second worst for big chances conceded now,
Liverpool.
Yeah, second worst. There's only Fulham worse. And this is what puts me off a little bit. You know, I know Trent's got that attacking upside, but you know, I mean, look, if Alisson keeps doing his stuff, then it might be fine, but But, you know, from my side of it, I still look at it. And I was, I mean, I remember me and you having a big ding-dong about Trent about game week 8 or 9, didn't we? We both come, I was saying, keep Trent. He'll all come and haunt you. And it didn't. And, you know, I have to say, well, obviously, they were very lucky getting it. He was very lucky getting his return this week in my eyes. It took a penalty save to get it right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it took a lot of Alisson to get it, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, what's people saying in the chat about Trent? Would you go for him? If you're on wildcard, are you going for Trent? Do put a note in if you are. Or would you consider Robertson even? Thing is with Robertson, I think they're going to bring him back very gently from this injury. And I think that was, again, I think you might find that his minutes are a bit more. Whereas Trent seems to have just slotted straight back in, right?
I think it's about like what kind of sacrifice do you make? If you're on wild card right now, I think it's and you're interested in Trent or you want to do something other than Salah and you're interested in Trent to cover. I think going with a 4-4-2, getting Trippier, Cancelo, Trent, and then some budget players, and go with a 4-4-2 and a dead forward could be good until World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, and that way you don't have to sacrifice a midfielder or anything like that. You can still get the Fodens, the Sakas that you need. I would do it that way.
Yep. So something like Trent, Cancelo, Trippier, White.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Patterson. Is he fit again? I think he might be.
I think he's still a couple of weeks off, but you probably won't even need him.
But anyway, so that's our defense, right? I think roughly something like that. Now, obviously, we could do something where you could go for that second City defender and save yourself some cash from Trent, like you say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd go Chelsea defense, if I'm honest with you. I don't like the look of them. Brighton defense. Apart from this week, their matchups are pretty good. but not as good as Spurs. And then you've got the next problem there, which Spurs? That is the big problem with Spurs, isn't it?
Yeah. And Bungle here is on that 4-4-2 with the dead forward. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out.
I like it now. I didn't like it when I wildcarded, but I do quite like it now because I think we're now getting to that point. We've only got to go 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So it's fairly easy.
But yeah, you mentioned Spurs and which attacker to go for. I mean,
which defender as well. I mean, you know, there's conversations around Perisic again, but I don't know whether he's nailed. We're on Doherty. I'm not happy with that. Eric Dier bores the living shit out of me. I can't go there.
I wouldn't go Spurs defense.
But the matchups aren't bad, Gabe. +4, look, second best. No, it's third best behind Arsenal.
The rotation is bad.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And then if you don't want rotation, then you have to pay extra and get a player that doesn't attack at all. So, yeah. Like Dier.
Fair enough. All right. We're still in this wild card. So the next team I'm going to concentrate on is Arsenal. 4.5 attack, 4.2 defense. Between 14 and 16, and a reasonable matchup this week as well, as we mentioned. Not as good as we thought, but still pretty good. I'm on Saka and Martinelli. We've mentioned Ben White. That sounds template to me. Would you break that template, Gabe? How could you break that template apart if you were wanting to?
Martinelli's a fixture, I think. He's a given, right? He's obvious. Pair Martinelli with Xhaka because it's usually one or the other returning because they're both operating kind of in similar spaces in that on the left side there. Xhaka more on the inside in the half space. So it's either the wide player or the half space player is going to get something from the left. And then you could go Jesus, but the problem with Jesus is obviously he's on 4 yellow cards, so it's quite a risk bringing him in. But if you do have, you know, if you're wild carding and you have a good sub, you know, but if Jesus gets that wild card, you want a wild card, a player that plays only 3 out of the next 4, like you wouldn't do that. So the only way to, the only other pairing I think would be in defense, right? So you go Martinelli, Xhaka, and then pick a defender.
Yeah. So Xhaka for Saka. Sorry, I have to put my teeth in. What about Odegaard? It's a question from FPL Rover.
Yeah, he's like, I like him. You know, he's basically the, he is the creative hub of the team, certainly of the central and right area. He's like Xhaka, but a little bit further, a little bit deeper. And I think that's why I prefer Xhaka because of the savings. I think Odegaard is 6'5 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Xhaka's 5'1", 5.1. So
it's an interesting one because, I'm already on two Arsenal. You know, that fixture against Forest is as juicy as it comes, right? 3.9 is fabulous, fabulous mm-hmm. matchup, that one. Mm-hmm. But like you say, you could just see yourself go. I mean, you know, this is what Mariner would do in game week if I was wildcarding to I'd wildcard Jesus in and then he'd get a yellow card and miss that game. And you imagine how pissed off you would be if that happened. So yeah. I think for that reason, I might avoid him. I think I might avoid him actually. Because he's got a yellow card in him, hasn't he? He has got he's a bit petulant when he wants to be.
He's
South American. Enough said. Sorry, Cape.
Hey, he's up on the stereotypes there. You curmudgeon-y old northerner.
Yeah, crusty old bastard. Yeah.
Crusty old bastard.
Yeah, anyway. Nothing could spoil my night now. And Liz Truss has got fired. I'm so happy. Right. So anyway, let's keep going then. So this is our midfield, I think. And I think it's really template, right? Salah, Foden, Saka, Martinelli. That's good. That, by the way, that's Bungle's midfield. That's where I am. If I was wildcarding this week, I would be on Salah, Foden, Saka, Martinelli. And who else?
And are you on this?
I am on that team anyway, because I've actually just transferred them both two in to get to exactly that team. But I've took a -4 because I'm a knob and wildcarded earlier.
Well,
made no gains with my wildcard, unlike you, who made a lot of gains.
But well, anyway, that, just thanks to Lucky Riot.
But no, I think, look, that's very solid. And I think then it's just the decision about that fifth midfielder, who, if you weren't going on Andreas, have you got any other ideas? He seems a fairly solid fifth pick, right?
Honestly, that fifth midfielder, he's a fine fifth pick. Like, I think if who it was, I wrote about this. Kearney came into the side and he filled in the creative triangle for Fulham on the left. And Kearney's a good player and a good passer of the ball. And what happened to Andreas was he moved over to the right a little bit, and he also moved a little bit closer to goal. So I think his appeal is increasing. But if it were me, I don't know. I don't trust a budget midfielder on a promoted team. I might go 5 in midfield if I were wild carding, and I'd go with someone like I think Xhaka at 5.1 is maybe better than Andreas at 4.6. For just 0.5 more,
that then puts you into 3 Arsenal territory across
the middle. That's the problem. That's the sacrifice you would be making there.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So I think you either go like way up, you bring up, you know, that, or you keep Andreas.
What about, I don't know, I mean, the fixtures are not brilliant, but he's certainly in a bit of form. And you actually owned him earlier this season, Eze.
Eze's production depends too much on game state. I just don't. He's not someone that Palace rely on for goals, just generally. But if a game goes a certain way and Zaha isn't wrapping around the defenders and taking advantage of the left half space, he may hold the width, and then Eze could present himself there, but it's just too dependent on what happens in each individual game for me to go that way.
Fair enough. Is there a world you would go Harry Kane and Haaland up top?
Yes. Yeah.
Who would you drop? Obviously Salah would drop Salah. Him, right? The only person.
Yeah. So Kane over. If I were choosing now, I'd probably go Well, I don't know. Not with Forrest ahead. I don't know if I'd go Kane over Salah, but I think Kane over Salah is a definite possibility.
And we've got a message from Greenback Golf, and of course he's a hauler, and he knows how well you say this name. Miguel.
Miguel Almirón.
Almirón. What about him?
You know, he's been great, right? He's been versatile. He's also very reliant on good finishing. And he's not always a great finisher. So right now he's in good form. But I think that could dry up at any moment.
Yeah, to me it's not so much. I'm not so keen. I mean, they've got a very juicy fixture against Aston Villa, but I don't really see those fixtures as being too easy. Southampton away isn't so easy. Home against Chelsea, you'd think, you know, they've got enough probably to get something against Chelsea, I think, but that's still not an easy game, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I wouldn't. So okay, so I've written down here Haaland and Mitrovic, but if that was the case, you would have Salah down, Kane, Haaland, Mitrovic, would you? And replace Salah with it'd have to be pretty cheap, right? It'd have to be going in quite low. But yeah, you could go 4-3-3, couldn't you, I suppose, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Does that weaken the team too much?
I just think there are too many midfielders.
Yeah. I mean, who would your third striker be if you were Haaland, Mitrovic? Are you, I mean, God help us, are we actually going Solanke?
I'm not.
Because I'll tell you what, there's nothing much to support a Tony hold or even a Tony buy, if you ask me. Although they have got Wolves, but Wolves, you never know what's going to turn up. Forest away are crap, right? But Brentford aren't great away from home either.
Yeah, I mean, if I were selling one of my forwards right now, it would be Tony.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Yeah, I'm the same. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally agreement. Bench. Well, we don't need to worry about this too much. I mean, we've got plenty of options, haven't we? Ward.
Just a quick shout to, like, if anyone in the chat, we have how many people? We have over 50 people watching. If you guys have questions, just throw them in there in the chat. We are marking them. We will get back to all the questions later on. Also, help us out with a little like and subscribe and share and all that good stuff.
If you feel sorry for the Mariner having a terrible season compared to last one, please do. Anyway, you're holding the fort, Gabe, aren't you? You're doing all right. What rank are you, about 50K?
I'm about 50K right now, yeah.
Oh, that's all right. Well done.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I was about 190K when I wildcarded in game week 9, and up to 50K with who have Andreas and Mitrovic left to play. So I expect to kind of maintain ish rank around there. Yeah,
yeah.
And
they're just highly owned, aren't they? That's the problem. Is this you get the little man with the little hand like this on live FPL, and it's like,
oh yeah, I think they're about 50% owned, right?
Yeah, too high. Boring.
Get like half the points. I'll take half the points.
That's better than nothing, I suppose. Right, should we have a look at the captaincy then? Seems like we've done this. I think we were all wildcarded out. We can always answer some more questions on the wildcard a bit later. But I'd just say this. I think if you've managed to hold your wildcard to this time, I think you actually did a very, very wise decision. I think this is a very strong fixture swing.
I'm going to disagree with that.
wish I never wildcarded, Gabe, honestly. I really wish I never did it.
Maybe it's just the way you wildcarded and not the...
Bastard. I'm even turning the wrong screen over now. I'm moving my own screen forward, not this. I've completely lost my train of thought.
Anyway, yep.
I hate you. Right, shall we have a look at the captaincy? And it's Haaland. We're back to him. Well, surprise, surprise, with that fixture difficulty, it's hardly going to go anywhere else. I knew I didn't even need to plug it in, actually. remember this for the new people who are looking at this now. This is all like percentiles. So we've got all the players, and basically what we do is we look at it from the perspective of the highest and obviously the lowest, and then we just put them in line according to that. So minute-wise, Haaland has not got a minute risk, 90 out of 100. 86 holes. He's actually lost one of his holes when it drops off, because this is only last six games, right? So one of his holes has fallen off now, and he's still top. Returns last six is 100 top. Form is 100 top. Fixture difficulty is top. Anytime returns, virtually top. Expected points, virtually tops. Zonals, they don't like him. He doesn't need chances, though. He only needs four touches to score four goals. He said it himself. He said that's his dream, didn't he? His dream is to score five goals with five touches.
I think he will achieve that, and then his next dream after that will be to score six goals with three touches.
Right, how's he going to do that, Gabe?
I don't know. He's a demigod. He's going to figure it out. I don't know. Not human, this guy.
And look, I mean, you've got old and new metric, right? So there, I've left them up, actually. So 92 against 88. So, yeah, he's still top. But interestingly, Saka would have gone screamed up, actually, interestingly enough, if we'd have been looking at the old metric. I'll tell you, he's nowhere to be seen. It's Salah. He's nowhere to be seen. Look how low he is. But the expected, everybody, all the predicteds love him. Predicted points is top look. 100 for any time returns for expected points. And his zone's very good as well. So if you think Salah's form is turning, if you believe that, I'm not saying don't captain him, because there's still a very strong argument to captain him. And I think if I was looking at this, and I haven't looked at a poll, but I'm going to have a guess, I'd say this could nearly be 50-50.
In a poll, yes. I'm just wondering where...
In practice?
Why is Salah predicted to be the highest points getter?
It's based on what? There's no other explanation, right? It shouldn't be. I don't know why. I don't predict. All I look is at numbers which have happened in the past. I don't predict what's going forward. I can't. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this bloody job, would I? do you know what I mean? I look at it and I can see why people like the look of Salah for captaincy this week. I completely get it, right? I just think that I've got this slight doubt about Haaland with Brighton turning up and just being bloody awkward and hard to break down. I've got that horrible... That's the only doubt I've got in my mind, because I know Brighton can be a tough... can sometimes cause some trouble to the big sides when they're away. But I still think Haaland's got too much for them, and that's why I'm on Haaland. The metric really likes De Bruyne as well, but he's a distance behind Haaland, then Foden. So you've got a hat-trick of Manchester City players before you get to Kane, then Saka, then Son. So for me, I'm not overthinking it, Gabe. I'm just going with Haaland. I don't know about you.
Well, I agree.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. I think City at home... I don't care who they're playing. I don't care who anyone else is playing. City at home, go with Haaland.
Yeah. Okay. We don't need to do much more on it, I think. Should we do these questions and then just 15 minutes of questions, 10 or 15 minutes questions and get out of here?
Yeah, so we have some starred questions in there that we can go through. And I know some people have dropped some RMTs in the Discord, I believe.
Right. I've not been there. Have you?
Nehal, I'm in there now. So Nehal has one that we can get to.
Try and get it up onto the screen, or do you want to mess about? Try to do that whilst I start doing the questions.
Yeah, I can do that.
All right. So the first one is Jesus and Foden, or Nunes and Foden. Woo! Well, I know where you're going, but do you know what? This is a tougher question than it looks, isn't it? Because Jesus is on four yellows.
Yes. And
Nunes probably is about as nailed as he probably can be right now.
I think so, yeah. So, I mean, just because of the four yellows, I'd say Nunes and Foden.
Bloody hell.
I mean, Nunes will get four games, right? Or he'll start four games, and Jesus... One thing I'll say about Liverpool, and we saw this a little bit in the second half, where Salah went up close to a little bit closer to Nunez. I don't know why Klopp's not playing a 4-4-2 diamond with Salah and Nunez up top, and it's basically your same 4-3-3 except you drop Firmino from the nine into the tip of the diamond in midfield. That's all you have to do is drop Firmino in, and then you bring Nunez and Salah close to each other, and you're in your 4-4-2. You have your room for wingbacks. So I would just watch out if Klopp changes that formation, and if he does, I think Salah will absolutely explode.
Right. Interesting. It's always good to have the coach on the show, everybody, because I ain't got a bloody clue. But anyway, on a wild card, Gabe, Ben White and Alisson or Trent and Kepa? Ooh, another one. Oh, God, this is horrible. This is another really tough one. This is a great question. Ben White and Alisson. Do you know what? I mean, you could just bet if we went your bottom dollar, if he went Alisson, he concedes a load of goals and never gets another clean sheet ever, right?
Yeah.
Trent and Kepa, I think. If it's me.
Trent and Kepa for me.
Okay, that's from Bungle. All right. His army, Rosley. One question. Plans to transfer out Son to Salah in game week 13. Good move. Or should I go to KDB? I can't say going to Salah to play Forest is a bad move. I can't say it. I just still have this feeling that Salah is just not the player he was. And he's confident. And we keep thinking he's getting his confidence back and it doesn't come. You know? And Spurs are at home against Newcastle. I think, and then who do they play? Away at Bournemouth the following week, and then they've got Leeds at home in game week 16. look, it's Son, right? God, he's playing. He's another one who's in no form at all. You're probably jumping from the frying pan into the fire with this one, if you ask me. Coin flip as I could find. What would you do? I can't make my mind up here. I'd need to have a real think about this.
I don't know. Like, I'd have to see. I think I'd have to see the rest of the team.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, let's look at it in isolation. Son to Salah in game week 13. Do you think it's a good? Do you think it's a good move, or is it?
No. Doesn't feel like a good move. No.
Luxury move. It feels more luxury than good to me.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Given those fixtures, I might give him a chance. I might give him one more chance.
If you have a transfer to burn, maybe.
Yeah. I'm still not 100% convinced of recommending Son over anyone, though. But there we go. What else have we got? More wild. Kepa and Ward or Pickford and Begovic? Well, I'm on Pickford and Begovic, so for God's sake, don't go there. FPL Rover. I think Kepa and Ward right now, if it was me. I mean, Everton have got Palace at home, then Leicester at home. Man, Everton's fixtures are great, supposedly. Everton at home, but Fulham away isn't that good, is it? Leicester at home, Bournemouth away. There must be two clean sheets there, Gabe. There must be. Please tell me there is.
I don't know. It's tough to pick an Everton goalkeeper for me. That's why I went with Raya, but... Let me just look at Kepa's fixtures really quickly here because
I've got them here. So they've got Man United at home, Brighton away, Arsenal at home, Newcastle away. They're not great.
Nah, go for Pickford. Famous last words.
Good God,
doesn't feel good.
Right. Okay. Ashwara. Hi guys. Would you drop Tony, Zaha, and Mount, Johnny, and Iverson? That's five out. Mitrovic, Foden, Eze, Castagna, and Pickford. Well, Mitrovic, Foden, they're for me straight into any team. If you've probably not got them, I would have them now. Eze, Castagna, and Pickford for Mount, Johnny, and Iverson. Mount fixture's not great. I've just transferred him out. Johnny, we've said about Wolves. Castagna, Leicester, not great either. I'm not mad on this.
It's a weird question because it's just a weird combination.
Isolation, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of, like, is this a wild card that we're talking about here? If it is, then we would need more context, I think.
You still got Zaha there, right? And he's got Everton, Southampton, West Ham, and Forest still coming, even though I've sold him. I sold him a couple of weeks ago. Maybe that was wrong. But I don't know that I'd be selling. I don't know that Zaha would be coming out right now, but it looks like he's going to need to sell Zaha for Foden, and I would do that in a heartbeat. Is where I'm coming from anyway. I mean, hopefully that helps you a little bit. FPL DG boy, best 4.5 defender to rotate with Guay. I haven't even looked. Have you? Have you looked at any rotation?
No. Sorry. Haven't looked at rotation. But like 4 or 5 million defenders, you know, I mean, I think there aren't that many. It's like Ben White, obviously.
I'm just looking now, actually. I'm trying to
see. I mean, do you really need to rotate? Gabe has Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Forest.
Yeah, you can just play him, right?
Just play him.
Yeah, fair point. Right, that's those. Any others?
Nope.
What about on the Discord? Did you get any?
I have Nehal's. I think it's Nehal's. Yep. I have Nehal's wild card here.
Right. Do you want to share it?
Just want to sure how to share it. It's
a few more questions. So, Egan, -4 to replace a 5 million midfielder and Kane with Foden and Darwin. 5 million midfielder and Kane for Foden and Darwin. Kane out, though. But yeah. 5 million midfielder. Yes, I think so. Yes.
I guess. Yeah, you got. I think you have to get Foden in there. I think.
People saying keep him. What do we know? I mean, yes, it depends on his team. Tahar, I'm already on a -4 for Martinelli and White for JWP and Williams. Why do you need to replace Andreas? What upside is there for that? An extra -4. There isn't.
Yeah, that's not a need.
No, that's not a need. Here's one about Nunes came off early after feeling his muscle. Doesn't think it's a problem. Right, I'm just seeing if there's any more questions. I don't think there is. Oh, is this one? Would we drop Salah and go with a Liverpool striker, Firmino or Nunes, to get 3 City 2 Arsenal and bring in Cancelo as I don't have him now? Firmino or Nunes? Dropping Salah to get back to 3 City. I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either. I dropped Nehal's team in the WhatsApp chat because I can't share it.
Oh, right. Okay. So let me see. I'm not sure I can share it easily, but right. So he's got Kepa, Trippier, Cancelo, White. Okay. On the bench, Dalot and Williams, Gabe. So, Neko. So, what do you think about Dalot from United as a fourth midfielder? They've got Chelsea away, West Ham home, Villa away, Fulham away. 3 away games in the next 4.
Don't love it, to be honest.
Like that as well. That defense feels a little bit on the weak side, but the reason it is because he's gone 5 across the middle, right? Saka, Bowen, Salah, Foden, and Martinelli. That's a hell of a midfield, but that's the sacrifice, right? So, and then Haaland, Mitrovic, and then a dead forward in Greenwood.
I think I would go Gay over Nico Williams.
Yes.
And then maybe instead of Dalot or instead of Dalot and Nico Williams, go Gehi and Patterson or something like that.
That gives you a bit more money, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But what would you do with it?
Or you could go
Yeah.
I don't know how much money. Oh, he's got 0.6 million in the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would definitely go like I'd upgrade those both of those defenders.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, we can't share it.
But it's a great team. I really like the team. So just to read it out, it's Kepa in goal, Trippier, Cancelo, Ben White at the back, Saka, Bowen, Salah, Foden, Martinelli, Holland, Mitrovic, Iverson, Dalot, Nico Williams, and Greenwood on the bench. So yeah, good team.
Okay. All right. Good. Have we got anything else, or is that it? I'm just looking through.
Dalot's on four yellow cards too.
Is he? Oh, well, we don't want that. I can't recommend that then. That's right. Not a good idea. Who shouted that out? Very good if they did.
Those are your moves.
Eh?
Those are your moves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course it is. Yes, it was actually. No, it wasn't. I did Mount and Trossard. No, it was Mount.
Mount.
I went to Mount, didn't I? Just to try and just to have a bit of fun, which didn't work. But anyway, there we go. That's life, eh? I don't mind that at all. Wildcard team here. So Raya, Ward, Trippier, Williams, Justin. White. Midfield, Salah, Martinelli, Saka, Zaha, Mount. So he's gone Mount in midfield. Haaland, Darwin, Tony. Tony out for me for a start. For Mitrovic. For sure.
Yeah,
Mount I wouldn't have either. I'd probably save some money on Mount. I'd probably get rid of him and go down to and then upgrade someone in defense, if you ask me.
If you want, if he's looking for Aishwarya, if you're looking for some kind of a differential in midfield, I think maybe Sinisterra can consider Sinisterra, something like that.
Yeah, could.
You get a little money and then you upgrade Nico Williams. I just think Williams is still a rotation risk, and Forest aren't going to keep clean sheets. I think it's a wasted spot.
I mean, I just look at this and I don't see a City defender. So any clean sheet by City is going to really hurt you.
Yeah, you need some City defense.
You need a City cover in defense, if you ask me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. So I think that's Cancelo, personally. So that means
and Raya has three of the next four games away. So Wolves have a good fixture. Three of them are decent fixtures, but they are away. Just something to keep in mind.
I mean, is Kepa that? I mean, just this is a great question, actually. Let's finish on this question. Is Kepa, I mean, it's great price, right? But the fixtures aren't great. Palace, Everton away, Southampton at home, West Ham away, Forest away, three away out of four. Pickford, Palace at home, Fulham away, Leicester at home, Bournemouth away. Who else have we got? Let's say you got Raya, Aston Villa away, Wolves at home, Forest away, City away. And that City away could be horrible, right? You probably won't even play him. Have you got Ward?
No.
You don't.
I think the Kepa shout is one of form. He's got his shot and he's motivated and he's stopping everything. So
can't recommend Pickford after the nightmare I'm having. But if you looked at it in complete isolation, Pickford looks to be the best. Or I mean, again, even Palace, I'm having no. Every time I play a Palace, every time I bench a Palace defender, I get a return. Every time I play him, I don't. You know, Palace, maybe Guay, perhaps. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else, or is that us done? Have we got any more down there?
Rover came in with a question, but I think we've kind of answered it. How many bench fodders would you be comfortable with on wild card? And I mean, I think the one forward bench fodder, Andreas,
that cheap playing defender, that very, very cheap playing defender to 6 second bench. Like we started off, as I said, we started off, well, not only with a rant on that whole a number of rants today, and the Prime Minister is fabulous. But not only we had that, we started with that conversation right at the start. The title of the show was "The Template Roars Back."
Yeah,
the template is roaring back. Which, considering I'm sat at 300,000, praise the Lord, I'm going to find it very, very hard to gain much up to this World Cup. I'm trying to stop myself, Gabe, from forcing it, you know, going, it's very easy to start trying to force it and it just gets even worse.
Yeah.
So I may as well just try and just nibble away at it for another 4 weeks and then have a break is the way I'm thinking. Well, there we go. Right. Okay. So let's get out of here. 1 hour 29. I think just the right sort of time, mate. I don't think there's an awful lot else to say. Thank you very much, buddy. 5 a.m. You are an absolute legend. You now got to take the kids to school. My daughter is still smashing the room. I can hear her from here. There's all sorts going on out there. I'm dreading going into the room. But yeah, it should be, I think I'll have an hour's break and everything and have a bit of a sit down and relax. Guys, it was a pleasure. Gabe, it was a pleasure. You'll find Gabe at FPL Lens on Twitter. Are you going to put your matchups out?
Yep, I'm going to write them today and they should be out by this evening, UK time, this afternoon-ish, my time, middle of the night, your time.
Perfect. I'm FPL Mariner. Also follow FPL Nima, who is having his day off from Net.hall this week. And we will be back next week before game week 14. I think it's a Saturday deadline. So I've got a feeling we'll be kicking around somewhere around Thursday, I would guess.
Yeah.
So apart from that, all the best. The very best of luck. And I hope you have more luck than me. And come on, James Justin, just please give me a return tonight. I'm desperate. Bye all.